NBA basketball fans, welcome back to the NBA Playoff Banter Podcast. He's Marshall, I'm Chris, and we're here to discuss, what else are we going to discuss? The NBA Finals. Obviously, we'll kind of put a bow on Games 5 and Game 6 for Boston, Miami, put a bow on Saturday night with the Lakers clinching a spot, and we'll take it from there. We now know Doc Rivers, something that we talked about last week, is gone. I'm not shocked. A tad surprised, wasn't 100% for sure if they were going to do that or not. But like I said, not a big surprise based off of what happened in general and where people thought they were as a team. We do have a fair amount to talk about when it comes to breaking down this L.A. and Miami. You know, the media right now is like, oh, man, travel to L.A. and travel to Miami. That's the two places for the finals. They must have been like, oh, they got to be pissed off that they're not going, especially in the fall season. Usually it's, you know, in June. But we're going to break this stuff down. Can Miami keep this bubble run going? Butler, Bam look like the real deal as far as being the one and two top pieces, and they have a plethora of other key pieces that bring it each and every night. The deepest team left, obviously, in the playoffs, and they've looked dominant in the playoffs. Obviously, the Lakers, it'll be interesting to see if they decide to still go with this big lineup. I think that they have the flexibility. Obviously, Howard's playing really well, but will they need Howard as much as they need him, you know, against Denver, especially with the Joker and whatnot? So we're going to break all this stuff down. Will it go seven games? Obviously, it helps Miami not having, you know, to deal with home court or non-home court. We know the bubble has had some advantages there. This is a great matchup. They met twice this year. The Lakers beat them both times, but we're neither here or there. And like I said, both these teams are really clicking coming into the NBA Finals. That starts Wednesday. So it's Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. Then I think there's a gap for the rest of it. So it's going to line up perfectly for next Monday to do a show, because we'll be three games in, and who's ever up 2-1 usually has an advantage there, as we know. So we're going to break this down in just a second. If this is your first time listening to the NBA Playoff Banter Podcast, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. It streams live at archives. It's basically the headquarters. However, you don't have to just go to Blog Talk and download the show or listen to it in the browser. You can find this NBA podcast under the Ropeadope Radio Podcast at Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Stitcher, really across the board. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found everywhere, including Spotify. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. It's basketball, it's football, it's baseball, it's boxing, it's everything in between. And one more thing before we start getting into the meat and potatoes of this show, I got something for you. If you're thinking about cutting the cord, or you're not quite happy, it's called AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. They do have the 7-day free trial once you sign up. There's no annual contract. The plans start as low as $55 a month. You can stream it anywhere. They have the cloud DVR. And right now, if you sign up, you get a 30-day free trial of HBO Max. Here's another layer in another deal. If you get the Max package, that already includes HBO Max plus a free month of Showtime, which is $11 under the platform. That's AT&T TV Now, live streaming cable. Oh, my co-host, and see how he's doing on this fine fall night. It's the end of September. October's going around, and, you know, doing four podcasts right now, college football, you know, Vikings, this one, and my boxing, you know, the actual extra podcast isn't really a big deal, but it's watching the games. And I mean, there's so much stuff going on, my head's about to explode, and that's coming from a hardcore sports fan. So, it is just everywhere. If you look at Sunday night or Saturday and Sunday, how many sports were going on? It's amazing. And although we anticipated it, I mean, this thing is just full of sports. It's almost mind blowing at this point here, Marshall.
It's beautiful, man. And I know this is a basketball podcast, which I love, but I also love baseball. There's 8 playoff baseball games on Wednesday and Thursday. Like, holy shit. Like, that is freaking beautiful.
So it starts Tuesday, right?
Yeah, there's 4 games on Tuesday, and then the NL starts on Wednesday, and it's all best of 3. So it's like pins and needles baseball. And the Twins aren't playing the Yankees, which is a nice change of pace. I think my dad might actually have some faith in the team.
Yeah.
But I mean, and NBA finals start Wednesday. The Stanley Cup is tonight. We have a great Monday night football game tonight. Like, the only reason I think I'm I'm getting through 2020 is because we've had sports. We had a great NBA bubble. There's been a great hockey bubble. We have college football back. There's tons of soccer. Like, as a sports fan, if we were still in the struggling times of COVID with no sports, I'd be probably struggling a little more. Like, I know a lot of people are. So I'm thankful for sports to be back. I will say one thing, and then we'll get going. And I always like to kind of do some occasional news. I have heard ratings are down for the NBA and kind of a drastic rate. I think that Adam Silver did a tremendously terrific job of orchestrating the bubble, of making smart decisions, of handling the smart testing protocols. And I honestly, as an NBA fan, Chris, like, I still think this sport is in great hands. You have incredible people, in my opinion, like a LeBron, like a Lillard, like guys you can market. The Luka Doncic story, like,
it's now impossible there's a huge... for them not to be down right now. It's impossible.
Yeah, and I really
even normal I think shows that... like 48 Hours on CBS is down 2 million. Baseball is down 1 million on Fox broadcast. Everybody's down, including the NFL.
Yeah, and I think it's people just kind of pinpointing, and I don't need to say what side this is coming from, but some people in our media are hammering, well, the NBA is down, and you know, right. My show's up. Well, you know, it's like, no, the people are going through different times. I'm sure a lot of people have had to cancel cable. My dumb self still keeps DirecTV, you know, so despite the ratings being down, I think, again, it's been a wonderful bubble. There's not been any bubble issues. I guess, okay, two players have had bubble issues, but even with numbers down, we've seen incredible basketball. We got a potentially great finals on our hands in the near future. So the ratings, that doesn't bother me. People are going through a huge life change, and everyone's trying to survive this year. So that's something where it's like, you know what, this sport is in great hands. And we've had it it's been a more competitive league, as you've said in the past few podcasts. I am a Golden State guy, and for a while there, it was kind of boring to go, okay, it's LeBron versus Golden State, and what's going to happen? But I think that narrative is out the window, because the freaking Heat are in the damn finals. And I know we're talking about the show where we're going to start. I mean, give credit to this team, Chris. Like, they were around 17-1 in Vegas books to win the Eastern Conference Finals around New Year's. And they were some books had the Miami Heat making the Eastern Conference Finals from 10 or 12 to 1, and then so they've basically been from a 10 to 15 to 1 odds to like make the finals and make the NBA Finals. And this is really just a family team that has made it. Like, there was a bunch of beautiful articles about the team concept, and that's a theme you and I have talked about. For this NBA playoff run, about how, again, when Jimmy Butler got to Miami, Pat Riley said, hey, here's a scale, go stand on that and keep your shit together and keep your weight down, or you're not going to be involved in our team. And of one of the articles I read from the Heat about that, another player, I believe it's Quentin Richardson, had the exact same story. He said he met Pat Riley, and they put him on a scale, and then they ran his ass off till he lost a lot of weight, and he lost 30 pounds in like 6 weeks. Because he was like, okay, he said, I got the news really quick that we're a family here. This is a well-run organization. and you can jump on and enjoy it, or you can get the hell out of town. And this Quentin Richardson story was from probably close to a decade ago. So this is a well-ran organization who maybe they don't have all the top-notch flashy players like a Golden State Splash does or LeBron. You know, they've obviously had LeBron. You know, they're not going to go out and try to be the sign the biggest player ever, but they've had the same GM and the same head coach, Chris, for a long time, and they're now being rewarded. And again, this is a pretty normally consistent playoff team, but props to them for a truly well-ran organization who's been doing it for the same way for about the past 15 some odd years. They're now really enjoying the benefit of it by making finals, Chris.
Yeah, and it is funny because the offseason, a lot of people thought, oh, well, you know, that's the only squad that's going to give Jimmy a long-term deal because his knees are falling apart and he's a cancer. And, you know, the media, some of them, were really treating Butler as if he was doing, like, off the court, getting in trouble, like dumb trouble. And it just got skewed into he's the cancer. It's all his fault. And if you look at Minnesota, if you look at Philadelphia, because we don't even go back to Chicago, because that's actually even a couple more years ago. The things that he was saying after games, even after wins in Minnesota, how that's great and everything, man, we can score all day, but we need to, you know, come to show up on defense every single solitary day. And you know, a lot of it was just calling out the young players, the same thing in Philadelphia. And some of the coaches were afraid to, like, in ownership as well, afraid to, like, not skew with the younger guy that you think is something to build around or you think is going to be here longer in general in the league and all that. But it never really bugged me. And when you look at, like, 14 years of the playoffs, 1 year, and we're in it with Jimmy, and then they came real close to beating the team that eventually – we're talking real close last year, Philadelphia, Toronto – we saw how that series ended. They could have won the championship because Golden State got injured. So it is kind of crazy. He went there. People are like, oh, it's like a rebuilding. They do have cap room, so they're going to be – maybe they'll build something, put something together. And then, like, the season started, like you said. And then more people kind of were like, huh, maybe it's working out there. And then down the stretch, you thought, okay, it's a damn good team. But no one thought it was going to be quite like this. And let's just jump into some of the, you know, last night's action. But even before game five, if you look at it, both teams were kind of started out not shooting that well. I know Duncan had a good start, but Boston was like 5-12. Miami had like a decent lead. It really both games kind of played out similar. Obviously, you know, Boston winning the game was different. But you had some foul issues in game five with Butler and Harrow. And Robinson was really the only one showing up there for a while. And the big three for Boston was 4 of 17. I'm looking at it somewhere in the mid second corner, 4 of 17. And they were still up. You know, they were still up. I think they were up. Then Miami kind of made a run back. Butler kind of got back on the court, was doing some all purpose stuff. But they were back in it. And then Boston went back to struggling from three-point range. Both of them kind of struggled. Next thing you know, Miami, though, I have written down, 2 for 11 field goals. Butler gets his fourth foul. Tatum comes alive. If you look at the last three games, first quarter, but really just first half for Tatum compared to the second half, just night and day. And obviously they needed a little bit more consistency out of the team, but especially him in the first half. But Boston made a 20-3 run and never quite looked back after that. They had a pretty significant lead. They got it down. But even with that win, I still thought and that's the reason why I remember we kind of got into a debate of what have they shown us to even give them another game in the series. And the only reason why I said it is just because of how good they did in those first two games when they could have won one of them for sure and be up 2-1. But I still didn't feel that great or like, oh, this is going seven now. I just didn't feel that after that, even though it was a 3-2 game. Last night, slow start, really, besides, Butler, but otherwise pretty slow start. Jaylen Brown did all right, too. Miami was up 25-18 and 33-28. But Tatum over five, like I said, those first quarter and really just first half struggles. But Butler was like 6 of 8. Bam had 16 points, you know, near the end of the second quarter. And it was a tight score, 62-60. Miami was up, and they never really got way up on them or anything like that for a while. But then in the third quarter, in the second chance points for Boston, at one point was 14-1. And I thought, you know what, maybe they're just lingering, because Miami got up 82-74 with 4 minutes left. And by the end, it was 88-86. And I thought, okay, dude, you know, this is going to be good. And even with 5 minutes left, it was 104-102. And that's the key there, dude. 104-102, 5 minutes left. At the 236 mark, it was 116-102. And if you look at over 8 minutes, 848 run, 26-6. Miami was 11-16 from the field in the fourth quarter. And they just ran them out the gym. Bam. Had the first 30-10 playoff game since LeBron in 2014. And that was a wrap, dude. There was not going to be kind of any, you know, last second heroics. Miami just said, nope, we're finishing this series off.
First of all, before I get to Bam, shout out to Iguodala. I've always loved. I need to get a damn Iguodala Golden State and an Iguodala Heat jersey. The dude, all he does is just kind of go through the regular season, but holy shit, is he clutch on defense and clutch on hitting threes when he needs to in the playoffs. The dude was 4 for 4 from three last night, and even though he played really limited minutes in games 1, 2, 3, and 4, from like 5 and 6, he was literally played the whole second half for almost both games. Why? Because Spoelstra has the deepest hell bench, and he knows that Iguodala is a guy he can trust. Obviously, you got Duncan and Dragic and Butler. You have all these guys that can score. And Iguodala is not really a main scoring guy, but for their zone, for smart defense, for plays, for passing. I know he's not the top story, but, I mean, he's a common theme. This is now his sixth appearance in an NBA Finals. Was a signing where he went to Memphis, wasn't quite meant to be. The Heat signed him. And the dude is just a great person to have on a team that wants to be a title contender. And he's going to do his best to try against LeBron. So shout out to Iguodala again for being a hell of a role player, like capital role spelled out. That dude, just, I'm happy for him. And just clutch, clutch, clutch. And the other guy who took the courage, and nowadays, especially in social media, a lot of athletes don't really own up to this. But after game five, Bam Adebayo put the loss on him. He said, hey, this was my bad, which I don't think was probably completely true, but he owned up to it. And as you mentioned, Chris, in that 26-6 run, he literally, I have so much respect for the guy, because when I watched the Heat play, like my best friend's been on him all year. And I was like, when I'd watch Bam play in regular season games or even the first round against Indianapolis, I'd be like, dude, the dude has a green light like I've never seen before. Like, any shot, it's a finger roll, a dunk, a three. I've never seen a big who just puts it up from anywhere, and Spoelstra never pulled him at all. And last night, the big run they had, he literally played point guard for five possessions in a row. He either went one-on-one, or when they decided to double him at the basket, had a sick, like, over-the-back pass to Butler for a layup, he took the game over. And that's not a name that a lot of people in our country know for him. You know, if you're an NBA fan, well, who's in the series? Jimmy Butler and Tatum. Like, those would be your common household names. Fucking Bam Adebayo last night, 10 for 11 on free throws, 32 points, 14 boards, and five assists and a steal. Yeah. And he had two turnovers.
Yeah, he
and
only had two played turnovers. Yeah.
39 minutes. Like, there's other names in the league that get more praise, but there is not a big in the NBA that can play point guard and can shoot with his range and cover 1 through 5. He literally is, yeah. He's a lot like KG. You know, you always loved your guy Garnett because he could cover all positions and he could run an offense. And obviously Bam Adebayo is a little bit quicker than Garnett, like maybe a little more athletic, but
And he's 7 foot too. He's got a lot of long arm space. Let's not go here. This is going to be a long show. For
So credit to him. The dude was the MVP last night. I mean, Butler put up 22, but Bam Adebayo, he called himself out. He stepped it up, and he had the final last pass, which I guess you could call the official dagger, to Duncan Robinson for a three. And that was, I think that put him up 14 with about 2 minutes to go. But credits to the Heat, man. Like, it's a well-ran company. And you got freaking, again, Kendrick Nunn was the guy who had a great year, and he can't come off the bench anymore. Kelly Olynyk, a great role player. Derrick Jones Jr. had a really nice series against Milwaukee. The guy's not playing.
Right. Like,
Spoelstra has found his seven-man rotation, and they've been clicking. And what a great story. You know, I'm kicking myself. My best friend told me to bet him. I should have put money on this team to make the Eastern Conference Finals. Vegas clearly didn't expect it. And like you said, not many people did, but props to them. For Boston, to kind of talk about the team that lost quickly, the future's bright. For all those years and years, we talked about how, you know, they got tons of draft picks. You got some players now. You got Tatum. You got Brown. You got Campbell. Like, it's nothing to be sad about. Normally, teams have to go through a good playoff run before they win their own ring. Like, the future's there. I Tatum had some rough first halves, but would come back and not quit or hang his head like
he would
Harden would in the past. Yeah, he had off nights, but he would still try to drop 20 or 30 points in the second half. But yeah, props to the Heat. They're 12-3, and what's odd is they're actually 12. Lakers are 12-3 too. So these teams that have had the same playoff record. Be a credit to Miami, credit to Spoelstra, and I'm just happy for that team. Good for them. That's a hell of a team victory. And Bam got, I don't know what the trophy was, but I think Bam got maybe the Eastern Conference Player Trophy. He got something last night, but good for him, because that dude has balled out, and he's just a very rare talent, much like your boy KG.
don't let's not do that. KG's in the Hall of Fame. Okay.
I know. I'm with you.
In the Hall of Fame just yet. No, but no. I mean, you're right. Tatum shot was off, but he still had 24, 7 boards and 11 assists. He still, at least, like you said, would show up in that game. But look at Bam, 32, just looking at the starting lineup. You know, another thing about Bam is he didn't put up a 3-pointer last night, which is refreshing for a big. You know, Duncan Robinson had 5 threes. Iguodala was 4-for-4, but 15, 19, 15, 13, 22, 32, and someone had 9, Crowder. And his shot was just a little off at 3. But, I mean, talk about spreading it. And, you know, they're still going to have to figure out whose show is it when the time comes, and also when Tatum or Kemba gets the ball, the movement can't stop either, because sometimes that's what it kind of turns into. As far as, you know, the other game on the other side, both games, 4 and 5 played out somewhat similar with the Lakers and the Nuggets. And especially game 4, because that was still, I mean, they're all crucial games, but, you know, when it could be 3-1 or 2-2, we know it's a crucial moment. But the amount of times Denver would get down 8 or get down 10 or 9 or whatever, it seemed like, okay, Lakers are about to push it. Nope, boom, it'd be down to 3 or 4. And they tried and tried, and both sides played really well, both sides of the ball, too. Shooting-wise, wasn't necessarily the best all the time for Denver. And Jokic was kind of up and down. He'd either have a really good game or not so much. And obviously, we knew foul problems would be an issue, because the Lakers definitely get to a line a lot. And I'll tell you what, Davis and LeBron got to the line a lot and made them pay for it, which is something we've always talked about with this Lakers squad. And that is one of their weaknesses overall. You can't say enough about Rondo. Morris has been solid the last couple of games. That last game, though, he made a couple of fouls and stupid plays. You're like, what, dude, what are you doing right now? This game, it can be over if you just let it. But I got to give credit to Denver in those last two games to not just go all away, because it was so many times where you thought, all right, dude, it's a timeout. They're up by 10. They're about to take off. And wouldn't you know it, Denver would just fight back, man.
And credit to that team. I mean, you came back from 3-1 twice. That's hard to say because it's hard to imagine they did it. And there was no blowout, no fold there. I mean, Murray, that team is resilient. And I have had I think the last two podcasts I have said, hey, man, this could be a finals team in the near future. Look at their talent. But as we were talking about before the show, we also got to remember that this is the freaking West. And next year you have all these teams who have been fighting. Like the Golden State Warriors probably going to be back. Like the Suns are making progress, and like, you know, Portland's probably going to be good. Like there's so many teams again that are coming up that, you know, maybe I shouldn't have said, hey, the Nuggets could be a finals team, but you got to be very encouraged with your fan base. You have a super young star in Jokic, a star in Murray, who Murray kind of, I would say, proved himself more as being like a lot of people thought he was kind of on and off at times. Mm-hmm. He was on for pretty much the last freaking however many games of the playoffs. He maybe had one or two cold games against the Jazz, but that was it. So the future is young. If Porter can develop into a player, like it's enticing, but they didn't get it done because you had LeBron and Anthony Davis, who were the two best players in the series, and they did enough. They hit the free throws, as you said. You know, even though the bigs for LA really didn't hammer them on the boards, like the rebounding for LA was actually kind of small. I was kind of surprised at the lack of rebounds by like Anthony Davis and McGee and Howard.
Well, Howard was getting them all. But it's also they shoot so many threes that they are long rebounds, you know? So that plays
Yeah. But I mean, credit to the Lakers. We expect them to take care of business. A lot of teams were expected to take care of business in the playoffs this year, and including Milwaukee, including the Clippers. And those teams aren't around anymore. So the Lakers got their job done. They took care of business against Houston. They did it against Denver, who was a scrappy team. And now we're off to the finals. And honestly, I guess I'm a little bit biased. I've been kind of pulling for the Heat, but I think we have a really good finals set up. The Vegas has the Heat.
Well, before we get to that, though,
the closeout
game of Braun, though. 16 points in the fourth quarter, 38, 15, and 10 in your 17th season. I mean, he said, all right, the door, we're going to close this door. He was going to, I mean, he willed his team. He's like, no, we're done. We're finishing this. Like that closeout game, his closeout games and his game sevens, it just stop with all this hate, dude. This dude is just beyond a stallion, man.
And he's been doing it for a long time, brother, a long ass time. I should have mentioned that, but it's just so second nature to me. And
right,
exactly. I forget. I was listening to some national media member, but someone said something about LeBron this past week, and I was like, you know, some people are going to keep living in that little hut, but the dude just does it over and over and over and over again, so it's not surprising.
Listen to this stat real quick. So on both teams, remember the finals a couple years ago, the both teams thing about stats? If you look at closeout games, when you lead the both sides in points, rebounds, and assists, LeBron just did it. 2018, LeBron. 2018, LeBron. 2009, LeBron against, remember that Detroit series. Bird did it. Bird and Tatum are like the only ones that do that, that have done that, which is pretty crazy. But, I mean, this guy just, it's crazy. But I didn't mean to, let's preview though, because, yeah, we want to keep it.
You're right. Okay, so we're facing a gorgeous ass series. I mean, this thing is beautiful. This should be incredible basketball. Again, the Lakers are favored, and rightfully so. You're gonna have to bet about $4 to win 10 in Vegas. So Lakers are about a minus 400. The Heat are anywhere from about plus 330 to plus 300, and there's been money coming in on the Heat. So the Lakers are favored, rightfully so, but I think you'd be very foolish to assume that the Lakers are going to easily take this series. I think that this will be a more difficult series for the Lakers than what they had against Houston. And this will be more difficult despite the scrappiness in the heart of the Nuggets and the Nuggets. Why? Because I think after LeBron, I think that you could maybe say Anthony Davis, but if we're going based off playoff performances this year, I think you have a long list of players. And if you want to put an 80 number two, that's fine. But after 1 and 2, you have a long list of players who are the best players in the series before you get to someone else on the Lakers. That's is a Heat team. Sure. We maybe argue that maybe,
you can maybe
number
go
three through nine are Heat players.
Yeah, I was just going to say, 16. I agree with you.
So
that's freaking nuts. But yeah, I totally agree.
And to that extent, Chris, it's going to be again on LeBron to will his team. And the thing is that I think that makes for an incredibly fun series. I think defensively, I think that I don't know what Spo's going to do and how this matches up, but I think Adebayo and Anthony Davis would be a really fun matchup. Those are two very talented bigs. So just for the initial preview of the series, I think it should be a fun, compelling series. I would not be
blown away. Do you think the Lakers go small right away? Not to interrupt, do you think they add Morris right away? Or do you think they're going to try to go with Howard? I would go Morris right away.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Howard against Bam Adebayo, that seems like a definite mismatch. I like this series because it should be fun. Again, I would not be blown away. I mean, besides LeBron losing, I'm sure, God, the amount of grief he would get be stupid. But the Heat could win this series. There's no doubt in my mind that the way that Miami's played, this is not a walk in the park, go to the bank, bet LA, this thing's a wrap. I'll give positives for the Heat, then I'll throw it to you, and we can kind of combo it and do this together. But if you're a Miami fan, reasons to be optimistic. You've probably played the best playoff basketball in the whole bubble. I know you and the Lakers have the same records, but I would say the Heat have been more convincing. Maybe it's part of that's the underdog role. You have a lot
They've
of
They've had
bench
a lot
players.
Of comebacks, though, too. I mean, that Boston series, they had to come back in three out of the five games. So, yeah, it's – or six, I should say. But yeah. I hear you. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, you're good. So, yeah, so you have probably the third through the ninth best player in the series. So skill level, it's not a blowout, but you have a player in Butler who can play good lockdown defense. Bam Adebayo is going to be a man who can cause the Heat problems. And a big part for Miami is you're a better three-point shooting team.
Yeah.
LeBron's three-pointer in the playoffs this year has not been – what it used to be, and it's never been great, but I think it's maybe lost a little bit of a step, it appears to, except when it's super clutch. So you have a deeper team, and you have a much, much better three-point shooting team. And with a guy like Duncan Robinson, who can get off his own threes. Tyler Hero has really stepped up a little bit. Again, Iguodala is going to – he's not the same guy that guarded LeBron 4 years ago, but he's going to try. So positive.
And they have
Miami.
Crowder, too. Butler, yeah, Crowder.
Freaking, yeah. Maybe Derek Jones Jr., who is a super athletic freak, gets an appearance. So, again, if you're a Miami fan, reasons to be optimistic would be obviously Butler and Bam, a deeper team, and you're a better three-point shooting team. Those are the positives I would take, Chris, if I'm looking at this from a Miami Heat perspective. What would you say positives are for the Lakers? I know besides LeBron, because that'd be freaking passing the first-grade math test. But besides the GOAT, what else, or one of the GOATs, what else would you say are positives if you're a Laker fan?
Well, yeah, I mean, it is a positive that Rondo has played so damn well. It is a positive that Morris can come in and hit threes and play hard-nosed defense, and they can go right to small ball smoothly. They put him in the lineup against Houston. So, and they can go big if that's the case, because if Davis and LeBron aren't great three-point shooters, they just get hot maybe. Let's say they're subbing games. They'll get hot for two of the games, and that's about it. And, you know, they have found, besides Rondo, they have found a fourth and fifth guy. Now, going on the flip side of this, that fourth, fifth, and sixth guy, it seems like it's different all the time. And when you have a guy like Danny Green that is so up and down right now, and you have a guy like Kuzman is just running around, dude. The guy's just running around out there. Like, you're just looking at Kuzman like, hey, dude, what the fuck are you doing, dude? You make the stupidest passes. He's trying to do alley-oops out of nothing. Like, that's where I'm – those two players, especially Kuzman. I mean, now, you know, a lot of people thought, I'm in that boat, but, hey, you got to keep Kuzman. If you can, keep him. Nah, you can trade his ass. I think it's fair to say you can trade his ass now, because he's been horrendous, to be honest with you. And Green, there's moments where 2-3 games in a row he'll hit threes, and then he won't. Here's another positive, and I'll throw it back to you just in general. First of all, well, not positive, but positive for the Lakers. You got Davis, you got LeBron. Those are the best two players, I agree. But they have to get 60 so many times, and that's a lot to ask over and over again. So that blows my mind a little bit. But, you know, I saw this tweet out there a bunch. LeBron is going to hunt Hero and Robinson all night long. And that kind of plays into my other question, zone. Both teams put a little zone so far in the playoffs. Not the whole time, but even the Lakers went to that with Houston and more in Denver a couple times. Will that play into it at all? Obviously, a zone traditionally if you look at traditionally in college, it used to be like, well, if you could hit the three, you could tear up the zone. So it's not like you're going to play zone against Miami the whole time. But when you hear stuff like that, you know, the NBA, the switching and all that, it is a good point, you know, to have those two guys out on the court and have LeBron able to maybe try to go hunt for Robinson and Hero. It does kind of make me go, we could talk about the matchups, but if they're switching, they're switching, you know. What do you think where the zone will come in, and will Miami use it because of lack of three-point shooting?
I think Miami does it for sure. And Miami did it last night. And to give the Celtics credit, the Celtics shot their ass off last night. The Celtics came out shooting 60 points, and they shot the ball really well in the first half. It's just Miami shot it a tick better. So I think the zone is 100% a given. And again, I'm kissing ass here, but as a basketball coach and just any basketball fan that is a knowledgeable person of the game, the Miami has the best help defense in the NBA. I don't care what the stats say about the Lakers. I've never seen a team that has so many high IQ players, and that's a reason why Golden State was good too. The way they cover, when you can put Iguodala and Butler and Bam, and Iguodala is probably the craftiest out of all of them, and Butler's a dog too, and Bam's just long. Like their zone defense is so long and so intelligent that you almost never see them give up threes, wide open threes. The recovery and the way they play, and it's not. And part of it's obviously Spoelstra is a hell of a coach, but part of it is you have bunch of guys who have really, really high basketball IQs. So if the balls get swung around the zone, you know where your spot is. You know when to help. So I think that's going to be a massive advantage for the Heat because, you know what? Hey, let's try to not let LeBron kill us, and let's put him in zone for a bit. Okay, now it's KCP and Danny Green and Rondo and Kuzma. Like, I think that'd be a marvelous decision. I mean, Boston at times tore it up because Tatum shoots a pretty good three ball, and Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart at times can do the same thing. But I know LeBron's going to want to – he's definitely more of a driver, and that's his game, and there's still no one in the league that can stop when he puts his head down. But – if you're LeBron now you have to get past Jimmy Butler at the top of the zone and then get past Bam. Like, that's all of a sudden a little more difficult, and not that LeBron can't do
but
it.
But it helps having Davis to worry about where he's at. You know, that's a key too.
Yeah, yes, Chris, I do think that it will be very beneficial for the Heat because I think if your goal is to make people besides LeBron and AD shoot in the zone against us, and hey, if KCP and Danny Green, those guys hit threes on you, then that's something I'm sure Spoelstra could live with. To flip it, I think it'd be really interesting to see people play the Heat in a zone because Dragic can hit the three, Crowder can. Jimmy Butler doesn't shoot it a whole lot from what I've seen in the playoffs. But, I mean, Duncan Robinson had numbers that matched Clay and Steph this year. You have like three or four guys that are really good three-point shooters for the Heat. So obviously, again, you can say the same thing. LeBron and AD are super athletic. But I think that the Heat could benefit if the Lakers go zone. One thing I'll say for kind of one of my last questions as we kind of get through this one here is I'm really curious to see who LeBron will guard throughout the series. Because the Heat don't have – I know that Butler is the name on the postage stamp, but if you look at how they've won games in the playoffs, there's a night where it's Hero, there's a night where it's Butler, there's a night where it's Dragic, or is it Bam? Like, I wonder if Vogel will have LeBron be on Butler, or it for the rule of thumb, or if LeBron's going to alternate to who the hot player is, and it gets more weight on his shoulders, which he'll always step up and do. But I'll be really curious to see the matchups of who LeBron guards, because if it's just Jimmy Butler, I think the Lakers are going to have trouble initially with slowing down Duncan or Hero and all that. I know the Lakers have a good team defense, but a lot of that's led by the leadership of LeBron. So do you think it starts off with LeBron Butler or LeBron based on who's hot that night?
Well, and that's where Avery Bradley would be very helpful. But true. Yeah, I think it could start on Butler, but I also think that they'll do exactly what they did with Murray Oak at last 6 minutes, you know, put LeBron on him, and he knows how to defend without getting a lot of fouls, and look what he did to Murray. And that's also why they even implemented his zone, because Murray was getting off the dribble so crazy, and he could shoot threes, whereas they don't really have that guy that gets off the dribble that crazy consistently that can actually hit the three too. Whereas Butler can get off the dribble. These guys can get off the dribble, but it's not as dynamic as what Murray or Harden or Lillard were doing. And that's what you got to remember, that the Lakers have seen hot teams. You know what I mean? So Miami's hot. Well, they just, all three of their teams, well, two out of three were hot as hell. So yeah, it's going to be interesting, man. It's going to be interesting. I think that I wouldn't doubt – it kind of matters, no matter how it plays out. But I wouldn't doubt that if they put – if they kind of put Braun on Jimmy, but also Braun on one of the other guys. So it's not as much of a taxing situation until it needs to be later in the game. Because, you know – Duncan runs around a lot, but he's mostly shooting threes. I know the last game he got a couple of layups on fast break, and it was like, whoa. But what was it, like 91 or 92% of his shots are from three? Sure. So if all you got to do is run around the three-point, I'm not trying to Duncan Robinson fits in that system. If he's the second-best guy someplace, that's going to be trouble right now, obviously. But that's not where he's at. He's a perfect fit for where he's at. So when I say – well, if all LeBron has to do is run around, you know, and cover this guy, well, it is. I mean, if it's all running around the three-point line, that's pretty good, you know what I mean, considering, rather than have to worry about everything. Another key before we get to predictions, the mid-post in the post needs to be where 75% of the time, whatever it is, where Davis gets the ball. They need, because you want to break up that zone, that helps too. You start getting into the elbow. You start getting it lower. This whole getting the ball at the three-point line to where he has to start like that every single time, it gets so old watching, and that's coaching. What are your predictions so we can kind of get through this, puppy? I'm looking at the time.
I'm gonna go on a limb. I'm going to say Heat in six.
Oh, dude.
I think
Heat. I'm not even going game seven. Fuck it. They're going to take LeBron out before game seven.
And if it does happen, I hope I'm right. I LeBron doesn't deserve shit. Well, whatever. I'm not going to even worry about ignorant ass people. But I think that the Heat are just a more well-rounded overall team. They don't have this true stud, but they do have a better coach, though. They got a much better coach, in my opinion. Spoelstra is an effing genius. Well, that helped LeBron coach, win titles too.
LeBron's yeah. coach the team.
Yeah, I know. I'm taking Heat in six.
And I'm taking the Lakers in six or seven, something like that. I just think that push comes to shove, the Lakers will get it done. But hey. We'll be back next Monday. Three games into it, it'll be by next Monday, dude. So Wednesday, Friday, Sunday.
Beautiful.
You got to love that. You got to love that. Why don't you get us out of here, sir?
Well, you got, like I said, you have a hell of a series to watch. I think it's going to be great basketball. It'll be a great wrap up to the bubble. So, yeah, enjoy the basketball. And we're going to be out tonight. Again, mask up, stay safe, watch sports. Have a good one. Peace.